Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 216. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
That's me.
And tonight we are going to finally wrap up our Rambo series rewatch just in time for the new film.
Yep.
And we have, you know, that's pretty much it. We do have one other film after that, which I kind of teased last week, but we'll get into that in a little bit. Let's just start off with Rambo 2008. You kind of have to say 2008 after it because
the series. What the hell is this series? Right.
Like, I'm like,
the naming conventions are all over the place.
I'm so tempted to just like always refer to it as Rambo 4, but like on Twitter and shit, I'll always just be like Rambo 2008. So Rambo from 2008 is actually directed by Sylvester Stallone. I believe that's the first one directed by him.
I think so.
And the last one. Written by him and Art Monterastelli. It was released January 25th of 2008. Budget of $50 million. Did a box office of $113, it looks like. So this film was pretty successful. And it's weird. I mean, this is going to be kind of fun to talk about. I think it's a, I don't know if fun is the right word for this. It's like the movie is part fun, but also part like not fun. But we'll get into that.
Yeah.
But I do think like this, no matter where you fall on it, I do feel like it represents like a turning point for action films in a weird way, since it's like not a super relevant franchise. Because it feels like to me, it's like there was a line, like Rambo kind of drew a line between old action films and new ones.
Sure.
Where since Rambo 2008, I feel like some of the best action films have really leaned into extreme violence, and this was like the beginning of that. It's weird because like every Rambo is kind of different. Like you have First Blood, you have, which is, you know, like kind of like a Vietnam drama, like post-Vietnam drama, yeah, about this like drifter who, you know, and it's not a violent film at all. And then you have like 2 and 3, which were fun. Well, 2 and 3, which were like dumb 80s action films. It got away from what, you know, made the first film special. And at the very least, I thought part 2 was pretty fun. I think you and I kind of like agree on this.
Yeah,
like,
part 2 works.
Yeah, part 2 is fun. It's a fun, like mindless kind of 80s action film. 3 is really boring, but it tries to be the same thing. And then you have this one, which is like another thing altogether once again. So the basic plot here is Rambo is still living in like Vietnam, I think, or whatever, right?
Thailand, which is where he's been, I guess, since 2.
Okay. I'm bad at geography, so excuse me on that. But it's like he gets approached by like this, I think it's like a religious, like humanitarian aid.
Yeah, group. So a Christian, like these Christian aid workers go into Burma. They do missionary work, I guess. And they also bring like medical supplies and food and stuff. So they were going in to like help, I guess, the oppressed villagers of Burma.
Yeah, and I think they do even mention like they're like with the Christ Church or something at some point.
Like, yeah, some church out of Denver. Like they very clearly state.
Yeah, they have to get real specific about it for a second. And so yeah, Rambo gets approached by these people. Who knows? Like they, I guess they know who he is, and they're like, "Can you take us fucking upriver or whatever the fuck?" He does that, like, you know, help me out here if I fuck this up at all, but he brings them up river and he just drops them off. He's like, all right, see ya, even though he knows that they're fucked. And, like, he keeps telling them, like, are you bringing weapons? They're like, no. And he's like, well, then you're fucked. But okay, I'll take you in this boat up the river.
Yeah, like, they were just looking, basically, they were looking for an Uber to take them into Burma, but nobody else would. And they were like, we hear your boat's for rent or whatever. So, and at first he says no. And then for some inexplicable reason, he agrees to take her, to take up because he likes this girl or something.
Yeah, and so in this group, this is how I identify them. You have Rita from Dexter, Julie Benz.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the priest from The Sopranos, like the priest that was always hanging out with Carmella on The Sopranos.
Okay.
I don't remember the actor's name. Doesn't matter. But, so yeah, like, I don't know, he goes and meets her in the rain, she just somehow talks him into it because she's so, like, gung-ho about this. Even though he, like, tells them, you guys are fucked. They go, they're fucked. They get captured and shit. And then, like, some higher up in their church comes and finds him and is like, yo, can you please fucking go and save these people? And,
Well, they didn't even come and say, go and save these people. He's like, hey, you are the last person that saw them. You know where you dropped them off at. We need to charter your boat. We're sending in like this team of mercenaries.
So there's like the church like gives them those mercenaries. That was the one thing I missed.
Yeah, no, the church had hired the mercenaries.
Okay.
And they were the church was again hiring Rambo to take them upriver to where because he was the last one, so he knew where in Burma along the river he dropped them off.
Yeah. And that's like kind of it for plot. Like that's like,
mm-hmm.
You know, he gets hired to take him up river. He drops him off. They're fucked. He goes back in to fucking fuck shit up. And it's just like insane. Like, you know, this is a real short, 91 minute film. It doesn't take forever to get to like the point where we're talking about maybe 25, 30 minutes in. And from there on out, it's pretty nonstop. Like Mel Gibson level fucking insanity and just depravity. Like it's just
brutal violence.
Yeah. Like, so we remember, you know, you and I both have like kind of fond memories of seeing this back in 2008 and, you know, being really impressed by that level of, like, it went in a new direction, it tried a new thing, and, you know, at least back in 2008, I thought it really pulls it off. It's, like, really cutting edge and, like, boundary pushing in terms of the level of violence. I think we both thought that when we first saw it, right?
Yeah.
So yeah,
it was something different. It was like this new extreme level, but placed in this, you know, in this franchise from the 80s, so...
Yeah.
We kind of had like this image of, you know, cartoon Rambo. It's like, this is a way different take on it. This is kind of cool.
If this is a cartoon, this is a way different fucking cartoon.
Right.
So upon revisiting it, what did you think of Rambo 2008?
I came away really mixed on this one because, it starts out setting up the film with like it's kind of like this holy shit moment where they paint this major he's like this warlord in Burma as a it's like super effective villain that's like terrifying and brutal and cruel and like starts right off with throwing these like villagers out of a truck and then making them run across like a rice paddy that has landmines in it.
And then, like, if they didn't get killed, doesn't he just blow them away?
And then they shoot them all up.
He's playing like this sick game with them where, like, hopefully you don't step on a landmine. And then they, like, the people that didn't, he just kills anyway. Like, oh my God, okay.
Yeah.
And before you go further, there's one thing I want to note because. Even before that, the film starts with like actual footage of real war atrocities, which is like I think a really good warning sign of what's to come in this fucking movie. But anyways, go ahead.
So like that, then that like so they lay this guy out like, all right, like there hasn't been really a legitimate villain, right? Like in these films, like Rambo 2 has like the Russian guy. They all have. The Russian guy.
Yeah, Murdoch is like a meta, like upper level you know, villain in that, guy in the command center, which I kind of dug, like this bureaucrat. He's like the real bad guy, you know?
Right. Which, I mean, that's kind of what makes Rambo 2 fun in a weird way.
Yes, because it points the anger at the right person at the end.
It's right, because like the actual evil, right, like Russia or the Vietnamese or, Russia again, whatever, they're just kind of cartoony villains. And this guy is like legitimately like he's sadistic. He is a scary dude from the set. And so like, you know, that like bad shit's going to happen, but then I don't know. He just keeps cranking up the cruelty. And it gets to like a weird point where it's just like, there's zero reason for showing all this cruel. We already know that the guy is like a depraved lunatic that wants to kill people for his pleasure. Like, but do we need to really like show a child rape scene or a gang rape scene or like while you're showing other action over it? And it's like, what? Outside of us hating the villains here, which you already do, what does that bring to it? It's really weird.
I think it hurts the film a little. Like, I mean, that's kind of what you're getting at too. It's like, you've already established he's bad. I mean, yeah, you're making me hate him more, I guess, as it's going on. But you're also making me kind of hate myself for having fun with this. Like, it's this weird thing that's going on.
It's like, yeah, you want them to get, their comeuppance. And so they do the landmine game thing again when the mercenaries are there. And this time, like, the mercenaries are all hiding, they're not stopping the atrocities from going on. And then Rambo shows up. He just fucking starts taking them out with his bow and arrow. And it's just like super cathartic, like,
yeah,
but also super brutal. And like, there's blood splatter and shit. Like, enemies are losing their limbs and stuff. And it's like, it's super, super violent, but it's fun. Like, you're like, yes, finally they're getting these dudes, but then they crank up the cruelty again.
At the same time, it's like, it's weird, dude. Like, all right, so first off, like, we just have to mention like this part where they go into a village and start killing people.
Yeah,
I don't think I've ever seen anything so insane in my life. They're like literally grabbing children and throwing them into, like, there's a shot of a dude picking up a child, like a fucking 8-year-old boy, and he throws him into a fire, and you're just like, dude,
what the fuck is going on?
Like, exactly. I fucking get it. Like, holy shit, dude, let me enjoy my dumb fucking action movie. Like.
It's so insane.
Like, do you remember that shot I'm talking about? Because when I watched it again last night, I'm just like, I watched this twice for this because I watched it a month ago and I saw you talking about it on Twitter when you were watching it, and I was like, you know what? It's short, it's breezy. Well, I don't know if it's breezy, but it's short. there is a ton of fucking good action in it. I was like, fuck it, dude, let's do it again. And I think I came around a little bit more on it in a weird way. It's like every time I watch it, I come out a little different. But when I first rewatched it for this episode, so this is about a month ago now, I think I had the same reaction as you, where I was just like, dude, you're giving me like this really cool, like crazy over the top action movie. And you know me, I love insane violence. Like, I love action movies where like the level of violence is so extreme that like it stands up to any horror movie. Like, I love that shit, but it's like,
right,
at the same time, you're doing like this fucked up, like it's just kind of like, guys, war is grim and bad, and like some people are really bad. It's like, you've established that, and
multiple times.
Yeah, and once like Rambo starts to come back and get these guys, could I just have some fucking fun with him and killing these guys? But no, while that's happening, there's a part where like the general, like our main, right? It's the main bad guy, right?
Yeah.
He takes like a fucking 10-year-old boy into a fucking hut to fuck him. Like in the middle of while they're killing all these fucks. Like he takes him into a hut to fucking.
Yeah. And so that's a weird one too. Right.
Say fuck, to rape him, to rape a child. Like it's.
So like, and Rambo's watching this happen. Right. Like, so.
And that fucks it up even further. Yeah.
They bring, so the major gets like, he opens the door and like, there's this, he gets a delivery of this boy that he's going to molest and most likely rape. And Rambo is watching this and like, he gets this look on his face. Like,
I don't know.
I know what's going to happen. And then he seems to be making like a beeline to the hut. Like he's going to take this guy out. He's going to save this kid. And cause that's what he does. Cause like previously at 10 minutes before, he, you know, interrupts the mercenaries just hiding out, takes out an entire fucking battalion of these motherfuckers, and then gives like a speech about how like you live for nothing or die for something. And then he looks at his watch as he's making a beeline and is like, oh, I gotta go.
Like, what do you, I understand you're there to like save people, but save people, dude. There's a kid that needs right. saving. Like, what
this,
the fuck?
This kid needs like, saving. Like, it's less important than the white chick.
When you're looking at your watch, what are you like? Like, is there like a meeting like coming up? Like, I don't understand. Like,
so there was. So I did piece that together late. Like, I didn't catch it when they, I guess, were setting up their mission. They had a timeline that they needed to follow, and they were going to meet at the end. So if you remember the British dude that kind of
is an asshole,
surly mercenary asshole. Yeah. Like, they're all there at the end. He's like, we got to go. And like the sniper's like, no, we got to stay. And like, you know, we got out right. And he's like, he knew what he was doing. We said 15 minutes. So like, I think he was looking at his watch going like, I have to adhere to my timeline, but you know but what? You know, fuck the timeline because yeah. you didn't follow it anyway.
Like the way he looks at his watch and just fucking ditches this kid to get raped. You would think, okay, if I don't make it in the next 10 minutes, like they're going to execute the fucking people I'm trying. Like that's even then I'm like, I don't know. You saved the kid, right? Like, right. You know what I mean?
Right. Like you save whoever you can. Like he's an innocent. Like,
yeah, he's more innocent than anybody. He's a fucking kid. Like,
at least on the other side, the people that were captured and like the, you know, the Americans that came in to do like this humanitarian work, they knew what they were getting into. Yeah,
exactly. They put themselves there. Like, but let's say like he's looking at his watch. He's like, well, if I don't get to this point in 5 minutes, the girl's going to die. That's almost more justifiable than the actual explanation, which is, well, we said we'd meet at this time. Yeah, no shit, dude. But like fucking shit goes down and maybe they won't get there in time. Like this whole like, oh, we need to be somewhere in 15 minutes is fucking.
It's arbitrary. Like, it's like and super arbitrary.
It like, you know, having the rape there, it not only ruins some of the fun, but then the way Rambo responds ruins it further. We're just like, dude.
Yeah, because
you're Rambo.
It compromises him. Like as the hero, mm-hmm. you're like.
As a character, you're like, what?
I mean, yeah, like, we know you're not a good dude, but for three movies, you've kind of done the right thing. Exactly. And up until this point here, you've done the right thing. The right thing for you is always killing other people, yeah. but you've always made the choice that seems good and correct. And this time, you're like, no, I gotta save the white chick. That's who I came here for. No time for saving boy getting raped. Gotta go.
Yeah. So, like, some of that stuff, it's just like the, you know,
it just Stallone leaves is just sour taste in your mouth.
It does, and it's like, you know, Stallone is so disturbed, like so determined to rub your face in this shit that it brings you down from what could be just a really like. Honestly, this is like a really well-made action film in some ways, you know, but it's just like, what the fuck is this other shit? Like you went too extreme to show how extreme you could go. Cause you ruined certain things about it. I think.
And as if like, it's always, that's kind of the issue with this movie, right? As if that wasn't bad enough.
Yeah.
Like, so as if, you know, him massacring people, making them, you know, play games of torture for his pleasure. After this guy like destroys villages and kills children on a whim, after raping a little boy, then the whole entire rescue operation is played against. It's parallel with like this major gang rape scene that the rest of the military is, you know, taking part in.
Is that when like all the girls are like on stage or whatever?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So like then they like the one guy gets up there, and then all of a sudden that goes into some fucking like wild, you know, carnal, animalistic, you know, thing where they're just like ripping at women. And it's like, what the fuck is going, like, you keep escalating the, you know, the evil. And it's, I don't know. It's like, yes, I want them to die. Maybe that's the whole point of this, is that you, like, he wants you to like, hey, I want you to really, really hate them, because what's coming next, it's really brutal. I want you feeling any pity for these motherfuckers whatsoever, because I am unleashing the extreme carnage and gore that is, I think, for me, even now, it is on a different level than most action films. Like there are some that like hit that level, like what was that one that was by like the Raid people that was last year?
I think it had some of the Raid people in it. The Night Comes for Us.
Yes. So like that one, like that. I mean, it's like nonstop. This final action scene, and actually all through this film, like this is still some of the like most brutal and extreme violence that I've seen in a film.
It's up there for sure. I mean, dude, for sure it is.
Like at the time, it was the top.
Yeah.
It is not maybe there anymore, but it is still in that conversation of like, holy hell.
I think that, no, it is, but I do think that like some of the films that followed did stuff even better. And like when you look at, I'll even throw John Wick into the mix, like, which is, you know, it's not extremely violent always, but it is at parts. Like you're adding in into these other films, like really awesome fight choreography. Some of the effects look better and shit now. Like it's things like that. But the level of violence is undeniably, like, it's as sick as anything fucking Mel Gibson has done. And like think of Hacksaw Ridge. Like there's a part in like Hacksaw Ridge where dude gets blown in half and one of his fellow soldiers picks up his torso and uses it as a shield to get further on the battlefield. I'm like, that's sick and depraved shit. But anything in here, it's just like whoa.
Yeah, it's pretty much up there.
But I think once there is that final release where like, basically, so there's a part where like in this whole part that we're talking about, Rambo like goes in and fucking finds this, I think it was the dude that was fucking with Julie Benz. He like grabs him and just like picks him up by the fucking throat, and he's holding him and he just squeezing the guy's throat, and you start to see blood come out. He's like squeezing so hard, and then he just rips the motherfucker's throat out. I'm like, whoa. And like from then on, like I feel like the whole like finale of this film is spectacular. Like most of it is like this dude is, I love the way this sequence starts where Rambo finds this Jeep, like a gunner on the back of it. He runs up on top of the back of the Jeep. He fucking cuts off the gunner's head with his fucking machete. Then he grabs the machine gun, turns it around, shoots the dude in the driver's seat in the front of the Jeep, which is just fucking great. Then he just starts blowing motherfucker. Like, he just kills half of fucking Asia after that. And he's, like, shooting dudes and, like, he's, like, literally cutting them in half. He's shooting them with so many fucking bullets.
He literally deforests part of like, the area. Because he turns it around at one point and just starts laying into these enemies that are coming at him. And he just takes down, like, a whole set of trees. Holy shit.
There's, like, a boat. He fucking shoots the shit out of that. Like, he like, basically fucking ends this movie on that, with him on this machine gun. Then there's, like, another truck that pulls up. He turns around. He shoots that whole fucking truck out. he basically just fucking kills everybody. And then I think he, I mean, he does get to kill the general in a more personal way, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't remember exactly what he did.
He stabs him in the gut.
Oh, yeah, he stabs him in the gut. He fucking then rips his knife across the guy's gut and spills his guts all over the ground. Pretty good. And I mean, in any other movie, that would be like the most extreme thing you've ever seen, but you've just put through
the fucking ringer. Up until this point, it's nuts.
And so it's weird, man. Like, I walked away a month ago going, that ain't as good as I remember because of the issues that we talked about. And I kind of touched on my other problem with it, which is I just think on a technical level, the action movies have gotten a little better since then. I think that some of the blood in this looks fake. Like, it looks like it's CGI. Like, am I crazy here that, like, I think that it's digitally added in a lot of cases?
I didn't get that feeling from it, but
maybe I'm wrong. I'd love to hear from people because I do think that, like, maybe it's just going so fast that you're such in shock the whole time. You're like, what the fuck? But, you know, I watched this twice before this, and I'm like, it's the things like that. It's like the little things about the violence that I just feel like other extreme examples like this have stepped up their game in the years since. And again, like, you know, you look at The Raid or John Wick or The Night Comes for Us. It's like really cool fight choreography, and you don't have that here. This is just brutality.
It's just brutality and
guns and
you know. Yeah, and straight up military.
Yeah.
Style fight. Like, you know, John Wick has the benefit of, you know, they kind of do like ballet with guns almost, like in a way with it's the way like, they're it's shooting.
Like gun fu, yeah.
Yeah. But I envision, and I don't know any, I've never been in a firefight. I've never been in a military excursion. I imagine that the like level of carnage and is probably more this style if you were to
get
one on one.
Well, yeah, you're gonna it's also awesome karate moves and shit. Yeah,
right. Yeah, that just doesn't happen. Like, it doesn't make any sense to do it, but it looks cool when we're watching it. So,
but it's weird. All right, so then rewatching it like last night, like I kind of just got over the things that bothered me about it and was able to like just kind of enjoy the insane violence. Like, it's weird. Right. Like again, like. I get your reaction that you had, you know, that we've been kind of talking about, and I felt the same way. But then watching it again, I guess it's like the initial shock of it all is kind of worn off, and then I'm just like able to go, man, it's fucking awesome when the part when he jumps on the gun at the end, you know, like, things like that, where I'm just like, I'm enjoying the things that are really great about it.
Yeah.
I think I come away where I'm like, I kind of, it makes me feel icky, and I feel dirty, and I feel like a bad person. But I'm like, I think ultimately, like, I do like this movie. I think I will end up watching it again at some point. Like,
it's I can see that.
It's a short, you know, pretty easy to follow action movie that, you know, it rises to a level of action and extreme violence that I love. And so I think I will revisit it for that. But it's like, it's just, man. Stallone, you didn't have to go that far with some of the like more fucking sick elements of this. That's where I kind of land on it.
Funny side note that I picked up reading a review this morning of the new Rambo movie. These movies only appear during Republican administrations.
Interesting.
I found that very weird, but. They own
all of them.
Yeah. All like the first three all took place during the Reagan administration. And then this one was at the tail end of the Bush administration. And the new one is coming now.
It's in the
administration. So,
you know, what's funny though is because like they don't feel like reactions to the era. They feel like almost like propaganda that like Republican administration would put out in a way.
Yeah, and I mean we've talked about we don't really know where Stallone stands on political wise. We know where his brother does, and
yeah,
with that song at the end of two. But,
His brother put out a statement today, you know, blasting the critics for because I guess this movie, it's sitting pretty bad on Rotten Tomatoes right now. The new one, Last Blood, sitting at like in the 30s, you know. And it's like, and I've read one review, I've glanced at others, and you know, I've seen one review call it like, you know, this is for the MAGA era, and I'm like, some of the bad press and reviews are kind of centering on the fact that like the bad guys in this one are Mexican, which is like terrible timing, dude.
Yep. It's a
But
weird choice, right? But I don't know if like that's an intentional.
no, it's not. I don't think it is, and I think because one, he's had like this idea kicking around for years of what he's going to do with this. I mean, there's been all sorts of different ideas for what this new Rambo would be, but like the idea that you would be taking on like Mexican fucking cartel people or whatever. It's been around since before Trump, I think, right?
Yeah, I remember hearing about like, oh, they might do a possible sequel to this one, and like this movie ends with him going home, like he's finally back in America for the first time since,
2008, Rambo 2008.
yes, the 2008, like they, you
Yeah,
know,
that's the
as the credits are like are you know played
Because
over
we don't have
watching
time
Rambo
to have a
walk.
we don't have time to have a quiet moment here at the end. We're gonna fucking roll the credits while he's walking back home.
Go roll the credits and you just watch him walk like a mile and a half, like
Yeah.
but yeah, so it's like I mean, I remember hearing about you know that he wanted to do a sequel and that it would probably deal with like some sort of Mexican cartel thing. So that was back in during the Obama administration. I don't think that this necessarily ties to the fact that the Mexicans have become enemy number one or two
Yeah.
for the Republicans here, but it certainly does not have good timing. I do think some critics are reading it maybe incorrectly,
I think
but I also don't think that this movie was ever going to review well.
I think you're right on that. I think that, you know, there is an academic discussion to be had about how people of color are represented in film, right? So if in every film that comes out, Mexicans are always portrayed as drug dealers and part of the cartel, that creates an image of them over time that is negative and becomes like a negative stereotype and a trope. At the same time, on the flip side of that, on a non-political level, like the cartel is bad. Like, you know, those people are terrible people. Now, I'm not saying Mexicans. I mean, people that are in the cartel are fucking bad dudes, dude, right? Bad hombres, as fucking Trump would say. So it's like, I think, you know, Stallone and then the intention of this film, like, again, we haven't seen it yet. We're going to talk about it next week. It's not really to make a political statement or anything. It's just going, well, who's a bad guy in the world that Rambo could fight? And it's like, well, the drug cartels south of the border, those people are terrible. They're awful. And we're going to actually talk about that more in our next film. Which, guess what? Not a single review I've seen of the next film we're going to talk about has criticized the fact that the cartel is the bad guy in it. So, you know what I mean? Like, it's weird. I do think that, like, you know, one of the reviews I read of it that was, it was kind of a negative review of Rambo Last Blood, and it said, you know, I can't like it gave it like a mediocre score or whatever. It was just like, I don't think that, you know, Rambo's trying to say anything political here. Like you could definitely read it that way, and you could definitely say, hey, this is kind of like why is it always gotta be like Mexicans that are bad guys or whatever, right? But it doesn't the guy's like, I think this was Glenn Kenny's review. It was like, this movie's not interested in any of that. It's just setting up an excuse to make a slasher movie, is what it is. So I'm like, despite everything, dude, I'm excited to see Last Blood. I'm going to see it tomorrow at 2:30.
Yeah, I'm going to see it tomorrow night. Like I want to see it. Like I don't know. I'm interested to see what this series is a decade after 2008.
It's gonna be trashed. I mean, it's gonna like, dude, if you bring the level of violence that Rambo 2008 did, I think I'm going to have a good time, whether it's trash or not. So, like, I'm just, like, if it's awful, I'm still like, yes, I can't wait to see the awfulness of this.
Right. Like, I think I'll come out liking aspects of it and then not liking other aspects of it. But I think that's fine.
That, like, Red Band trailer, I said to you as soon as I saw it, I was like, this looks like Rambo 2008 meets fucking Home Alone. Like, it's like Rambo in his house. He's set a million death traps for these people. They're going to die in really fucking horrible ways. I'm in the mood for it. You know what I mean? I'm like, yes, that's, I'm, you know, it's probably going to be a real trashy fucking affair, but I'll be sitting there in the theater with like four other people watching it tomorrow afternoon. So.
Yeah, I'm down for a quick 90-minute action film. You know, I'm excited.
Yeah, I am. I have to admit, I'm excited for it. Like, I wasn't, say, like a month or two ago, but I think rewatching these movies, I think rewatching Rambo 2008 and then just seeing the Red Band trailer for this new one got me kind of like, okay, I'm excited. I'm not like, oh my God, but I'm like, this is going to be a fun time. Let's bring it back, though, to Rambo 2008 and, like, closing thoughts. What do you think?
I did come away with it not. I remember going in, damn, I really liked Rambo 2008. And it started off, I was like, yeah, man, this movie's brutal. Like, and then there were things that I just did not, I must have just blocked out. I just remembered, like, the cool shit from it. And to be fair, that finale does wipe some of, it doesn't erase it, but yes. I can remember, like, that's what I mostly remember is that finale. And it's just this celebration of carnage that is fun. And like when you're watching it with friends or whatever, it's a good time. And I'm sure I didn't come out of there thinking about like the weird shit that was, you know, questionable, gross crap. And then watching it this time, just, you know, thinking more about it, like, yeah, it doesn't quite hit that, but it does have good action. And, it is fun in parts, also gross in parts. So I don't love it as much as I did, but I still think it's a pretty decent film. So I'm going to give it a 3.
Yeah, I think I'm, you know, I won't prolong this too much. I'm pretty much kind of in the same boat with you. And, you know, part of that is times change. We change. You know, I'm not the same person I was in 2008. That's just how it is, you know. But generally, I mean, there's just some spectacular violence in this. It's hard for me to be like, oh, you should stay away from this because it's bad.
No.
Again, there's parts about it that make me feel icky. And then I think there's parts of the action and the digital effects specifically that are a little dated, but man, this thing is a fucking wild ass ride. I'm gonna land at the same score as you, Chris, 3 stars, but
nice.
Boy, it was better than Rambo 3, wasn't it?
Oh, a ton. Like, yeah, you know, yeah. Questionable shit or whatever aside, like,
yeah.
It is way better than
3. Yeah. I think we both gave Rambo 3 a 2, and then we're giving this a 3, but there couldn't be a vaster difference between those two scores for me on them.
Huge space.
So, all right, and we're going to talk about one more film here tonight, and, you know, changing gears kind of a lot, but I actually think that, like, talking about these two pair well because of the issue I brought up before, but the second film we're going to talk about tonight, unfortunately, you didn't get to see this yet, right, Chris?
No.
I hope you get to see this before the end of the year. Anyways, the second film we're going to talk about tonight is called Tigers Are Not Afraid. It's a Mexican horror film written and directed by Isa Lopez. And the plot is basically like these kids are living in... These kids that are living in Mexico are like orphaned because of the drug cartel there. You know, they come, they kill their parents. They, like, you know, reign over this area that these kids are living in with terror. And also, I think part of it, you know, some things are like kind of hinted at, not 100% spelled out. But part of it is, you know, they'll kill the parents and they'll take women and children and sell them into sex slavery. So this is like the world we're living in here with this film. And we're following these like group of like four or five kids who are just trying to survive in this world. And it's mostly, I would say it's mostly like this really kind of grim drama, but with kind of some magical kind of fantasy elements. Think Guillermo del Toro and think like Pan's Labyrinth, right?
Okay.
And also, you know, like for instance, Pan's Labyrinth with horror elements. And, you know, I throw it in the horror genre because, well, one, I think the director, she would call it a horror film. It's a Shudder exclusive, which is a horror streaming service. But again, I bring all this up, like this kind of classification thing, because there's some people that are like, when they go see a horror film, they want to see like Friday the 13th, or they want to see like big scares and gore and stuff like that. And I think that the horror element, like the strictly horror stuff in this, like this kind of supernatural, magical ghost type shit, it's like very minimally done, very tasteful, and you know, it's not in it a ton, right? But that's not to say that this film is an easy watch because of that or anything. Like, the film is absolutely fucking brutal. It's just the brutality in it is like real life brutality and kind of stuff that you could see outside of the horror genre. You know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, horrible things that you know, bad people will do to people. You know, not like straight up torture, but just like drug cartel that will like shoot a child in the fucking head without even thinking about it, right?
Right.
That's not the type
of... They're just in the way.
Yeah, and it's not the type, like, that's not the type of, like, killing or scene that you would, like, necessarily restrict to the horror genre. You get what I'm saying? Like,
right, yeah.
There's way more of that than there is of, oh, there's a spooky ghost, right? So the basic plot of here... The basic, like, story is about, like, this girl named Estrella, who's played by Paula Lara. And she's, like, a girl who comes home after school, after there's, like, a shooting outside. Like, she's in class. There's, like, some shooting going on outside her school. Everyone gets down on the floor. And her teacher gives her three pieces of chalk. And she's, like, you have... Basically, the teacher's just trying to keep her calm while this shit's going down, right? Like... She hands her chalk and she's like, you have three wishes, hold on to it, and you know, you could be safe, blah, blah, blah. She comes home after this, like, all happens. Like, she walks out of school, there's a guy dead on the pavement, and he's bleeding out. She goes home, and she's, like, looking around for her mom, and her mom is gone. Like, the cartel has taken her mom. She's, like, fucking alone now, like, this fucking, like, 10-year-old kid just stuck by herself, like, you know, in a house or whatever. And she starts to become hungry and starving, and so she, like, hooks up with these other boys who live on the street, who have been surviving on the street for a while now, because their parents have been killed by the cartel. And, you know, along the way, like, basically they get into trouble, like, the kids themselves get into trouble with the cartel, where it's, like, one of them has stolen a gun and a phone from one of the cartel members, and they're trying to get it back. And so it's just like, it's basically like these kids versus the cartel. And along with that, this little girl has these three pieces of chalk, which may or may not allow her to do three magic wishes and change events. This movie is, like I said, it's brutal, but it's absolutely beautiful. Like it's, like, think of, like, you've seen Pan's Labyrinth, right?
Yes.
Yeah, like, you think of, like that, where it's just, like, there's a level of brutality to it, but also it's just, like, really beautifully done, and you, like, really care about the characters so that when the horror does come and when, like, something bad does happen, you, like, really care and you really feel it. Like, the little horror scenes that are in it are absolutely effective. And like, there's one that got both me and my girlfriend to jump as we were watching it. And I think part of that is because of how, like, it's pretty simple, almost kind of a jump scare, but one really well done. But on top of the fact that it's really well done, you're really invested in what's going on as a drama before that. You know what I mean? So when you bring the horror, you know, when you bring the danger, it's not like a typical horror film where you're like, yeah, let's see the next person get killed. It's like, oh no, please don't kill them. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're like, no. I care about these characters. I don't want anything bad to happen to them. So absolutely beautiful film. I think that the last 10 minutes of this are just something else, man. Just, she fucking hits a home run. Like, Issa Lopez, she fucking nails the last 10 minutes of this film. It packs an emotional wallop where you're just like, wow. Like, your jaw is just, like, hanging out. Like, I can't believe that. On top of it, it's one of the best films I've seen this year, for sure. It's in the running for Film of the Year for me. And unlike the other two films that are in the running for Film of the Year, which for me are Once Upon a Time and Midsommar, those are both, like, 2.5 to 3 hours long.
Right.
This movie is a cool 83 minutes.
That's... I like hearing that.
Yeah. So... I'm not going to try to oversell it more than that, just to say, you know, beautiful score, kind of just poetic, and really, like, sticks the landing, like, really great ending. I love the title of it. I love what the title means once you know, once you've seen it, Tigers Are Not Afraid. I can't recommend this thing highly enough. If you are fortunate enough to have a theater near you that's playing it, go see it on the big screen. But if not, this is one I will say... sign up for Shudder to see this film. I don't, you know, I don't know if it's going to get an actual Blu-ray release at some point. I certainly hope it does. I would love to own it. But in the meantime, it was really cool for me because I didn't have a theater near me that had it to, like, that they just, like, surprise dropped this on Shudder. It was actually, we're going to be doing, I think next week, our, like, fall movie preview. This was, like, on my list of my top five, like, I can't wait to see, and then they just, like, dropped it randomly last week.
Nice little present for you.
Yeah, yeah. So, Tigers Are Not Afraid, I'm giving it the full 5 stars, and I'm saying seek it out.
Nice. That's it. Try and make some time for it. So.
Hey, you only need about an hour. I actually, like, so I saw it when they dropped it last week, and then last night I was like, you know what, I'm gonna watch it again to make sure, like, my feelings about it are right, like, is it good? You know, sometimes you watch the film, like, the first time it hits you so hard, you're like, that was amazing, but then, like, you didn't really, like, examine it. I went back to examine it a second time, and, like, only grew in my estimation, like, I only loved it more. So this is a fantastic movie. Everyone should see this, even if you're not a horror fan on top of that. So, yeah, I hope you do get to see it, Chris. I would love to hear your thoughts on it, especially in terms of, like, for end of the year stuff. Honestly, like, there's several categories where, like, this stood out for me for end of the year stuff. Yeah, obviously I loved it. I can't recommend it highly enough. Go see Tigers Are Not Afraid, guys. So for next week, we will have Rambo Last Blood. And I might have, if it drops in time, this film called One Cut of the Dead, which looks like a Shaun of the Dead type thing, like a zombie horror comedy that's coming to Shudder next week. I just don't know what day it's coming because it's another one of those surprise drops. So I might have that as well. But then we'll also be talking about, like, the movies we're looking forward to for the rest of the year. Does that sound good to you?
And I will have Ad Astra as well.
I might. Again, I'm putting priority on Rambo, but yeah, I might get to that too. It's like this last week where I was like, I wanted to see Hustlers, but it just didn't work out.
Yeah. I've made time for both this weekend. So
I will
be seeing both.
So we'll actually have a couple new films for review next week, and then we'll squeeze in there also just, like, the stuff that we're looking forward to. All right.
Yep.
All right. We'll be back next week.
Movie dudes.
Do 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 do.